coming to you from our new home at DynastyLeagueFootball.com and a DLF family of podcasts. We are the Superflex Super Show. We talk QB values, Superflex strategies, evaluate and debate Superflex trades, plus our own twist on Superflex team management with exercises like Tinderflex, Super 6, and You Are Nuts. So when you're done with this awesome DLF podcast, find us on Twitter at Superflex Show and join us in the discussion of the fastest growing format in all of fantasy football, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show.
You need to be more greedy.
Yeah. Chicken or crow, chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, though. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Picking their brains, got their lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, Jake got that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, though. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, though.
Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name's Peter Howard at PA Howdy on Twitter, and I am joined once again by Jake Anderson, my co-host at Jake Anderson FF on Twitter, formerly known as the NFL Draft Talker. I heard you explaining that again on the podcast you went on, so I thought I'd throw that in. Jake is back at the Crossroads this week. We are happy to have him back. He is fresh off his vacation to Colorado, no less, as well as dominating the PGA series of tests, so that he is now PGA qualified. Congratulations, Jake, and welcome back. How are you doing?
Thanks, man. Yeah, it feels good to be back. You know, like, vacations can almost be stressful at some points, you know. So sometimes it's nice to just be back home, and I had a little neck injury, so I couldn't snowboard or anything like that, which was a little bit depressing, but thanks, man. Yeah, passing all my PGA tests was a huge relief, you know, big weight off my shoulders. Now I've only got to deal with a baby coming in and moving into a new house and the golf season, you know, right here on the doorstep. So, but yeah, can't complain. You know, like life is pretty good. Even sometimes when we think it's super stressful, there's so much good in it too. How are you doing, my man?
So just those few life-altering events that
to deal with now. Yeah, just a couple little things, but
I'm good, man. I'm happy to have company back on the Crossroads. It's been a little echoey, a little lonely around here, but yeah, glad to have you back. As far as the subject for this week, I've completely crapped out and had no idea. So I thought what we'd do is look at Dynasty ADP according to DLF. ADP collected by Ryan McDowell. This is, of course, a DLF family podcast, so that makes sense. And talk about context. Everyone talks about trading their draft picks because of the value of producers over the hype of rookies, especially as the NFL draft draws closer rookies get more and more hyped. There was an interesting chat going on between Kyle LeBrecq and Zach Reed from the Dynasty Dummies podcast in one of our group chats, and they were trying to talk about where the line was for trading the 1.1 in a rookie draft for proven players. Now, where everyone has different rankings, that can be a little difficult to do, but I thought if we just looked at Dynasty ADP, we could get some idea of where that line is, where you should think about trading the first pick or the third pick or the fourth pick or even the second pick, why not? And where you should err on the side of the proven player. So does that sound like something that we can do, or does that sound like fun, Jake? Something you got ideas about?
No, I think it could bring a very interesting conversation. I think it's a good idea.
I think so, because there are some ranks in here based on, it's ADP, obviously, not ranks, but like, I just flat out don't agree with, like, Derrick Henry, for example, is just way too high compared to where I have him. And so that has to be baked in. I think that'll help, you know, because everyone, all seven of the people who faithfully listen to us probably have different ideas about ADP as well. And so some of that variance will help give them, or just me, that's what I'm doing it for. I want an idea of who I should be trading for instead of keeping these picks. So I don't know if we want to go positionally. I thought just we could start out just by talking in general. So you have the 1.01 pick in this year's rookie draft. Obviously that's going to get more valuable the closer the draft gets, and probably it's most valuable after the draft. But do you have a sense of where in this ADP list you would start thinking about trading that pick? What, like, what player? Right now, I can tell you, dear listeners, since you don't know, looking at the ADP, currently N'Keal Harry is ranked as the highest rookie in DLF ADP. That's according to April's ADP. And he's ranked as the player 42. So he's ranked as the 42nd player off the board. So we're just going to use that as a proxy for the 1.01. Now, obviously, you might not want to select N'Keal Harry. You should, but maybe you don't. But let's just say that 42 is currently where the 1.01 sits. Now, just above that is Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, and Corey Davis. Just below that is, well, DK Metcalf, so the 1.02, followed by Robert Woods, Jarvis Landry, and Derrick Henry. Does that seem like the right kind of range for you?
In a startup, I think it does. You know, both of us are big proponents of trading rookie picks in general, right?
In general, yeah.
But as the hype grows, I'm not in the situation where I have the 101, but seeing myself, you know, trying to visualize myself having the 101, I'm holding out for you something even better, you know, because I think there is value in that pick. And I, even if I have to package something more, I'm going to use that 101 as a chip to get a really good player. And I'm not saying, you know, Cooper Kupp or DJ Moore or Corey Davis aren't really good players, because I like all of them a lot, you know. But I would actually expect to get a little bit more than that.
Yeah, the player that I noticed first, like above the number 42 where the 1.01 is ranked, is AJ Green. He's at 37, and that's a really good player who has questions because he has seemed to have dropped off here in the last few years. Would you trade AJ Green for the 1.01 or T.Y. Hilton, though, back to back?
I think you can get them for cheaper. I honestly think you can get either of those guys for like the 104, 105 even.
Wow, because I would trade any pick for that type of player. Like that type, like maybe they're dropping off, but like...
No, I totally agree. I'm right there with you. I think they're worth more than that, but I think you can get them for cheaper. And that's probably where I'd hold. Now, gun to my head, I might do that, but I'm looking more like for a guy that I have a little bit, rated a little bit higher. You know, like Adam Thielen, Brandon Cooks. I think you can get even a little bit higher tier, and they, you know, they're not all that much higher for me than AJ Green or TY, but they are higher. So I would reach up for that next couple spots to try to get those players. And maybe AJ Green and TY Hilton are higher than, you know, Cooks and Thielen for you. But regardless, I'd be looking for, you know, right around that top 10 wide receiver, I would want that kind of mark.
Can I ask, what's the difference between, like, Thielen, Hilton, and Green for you? Like, obviously, Hilton and Green are more proven and been dominant for years. Thielen, obviously, is a little older than most breakouts, but he still had his first year of being really, really good, like they have been. So what's the difference, considering the fact that the age gap there is smaller than for most breakouts between Thielen and Hilton and Green?
Yeah, honestly, it's not a lot, but they're just lower. Actually, I wanted to try to pull up my rankings here, but we can chat as I try to do that. like I said, it's not a lot. I would say off the top of my head, I think Thielen's like wide receiver 9 or 10 for me. Cooks is probably 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. And T.Y. and Hill and A.J. are not much farther below that. But all I'm saying is I would push a little bit farther.
I get it. I was just wondering specifically, like, is there something you're seeing with Hilton and Green's game as it ages? Because I know, you, like me, you really like the way Thielen plays.
Yeah, I think it's a little more volume and a little bit of age there, too. And again, I'm not an ageist, but
yeah,
cool. We have seen A.J. deal with more injuries and be a little bit less productive, not in as good of an offensive system. T.Y.'s on the opposite there. Besides, he does have, you know, some injury history. He tends to get nicked up a little bit. He's definitely better at home on turf than he is on the road. I just think Adam Thielen is just, and, you know, A.J. Green's possibly a Hall of Famer, so I don't want to besmirch him as a player and what he's done. But, you know, and Adam Thielen has a long ways to go before he's even in that conversation. But just what are they giving me now?
Right.
I think Adam Thielen's a better wide receiver than both of those guys.
That's just interesting, where he's 28 and they're 29 and 30 respectively. But
yeah,
I'm with you on board with all three. We're not the guys who undervalue players because they get old, and so I thought it was just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Between those two is like Kenny Golladay, though. Like, I love me some Kenny Golladay. Like, I like to think I was one of the first in, but he's also less proven than T.Y. Hilton and A.J. Green, but ranked higher. Is he someone that you want more than just the 1.01 for?
I wouldn't trade the 101 for Kenny Golladay. Oh, okay. He's a little bit lower for me. I actually have him right below Robert Woods, and I just looked. T.Y. Hilton and A.J. Green are back-to-back in my rankings for wide receivers. Adam Thielen's my wide receiver 8.
Trying to summarize, like you said, anyone listening has different ideas of who should go where. So ADP is just a proxy for that. What I'm getting from you, and I actually really agree, is you want a player with proven top 12 potential for wide receivers at least, but hopefully a little younger, and with, or at least with less of an injury history. Those would be things that we could put on a list if we're trying to make it more generic. And I think that would be a fair way of looking at it. Would you mostly be looking for wide receivers if you're trading the 1.01, or someone that I'm noticing above the 1.01 right now is Kerryon Johnson? I've never really understood the amount of expectation from Kerryon Johnson. I think he's good. I've never thought he's great. I don't think his landing spot's overly great. I don't think the team typically relies on one player or has ever done. And so I think I'm a little lower. And so if I'm trading four to reverse it a little bit, and the 1.01, I would be looking to trade someone like Johnson over those wide receivers who are a little older, like A.J. Green and T.Y. Hilton. I think they're worth more just because it's so hard to hit on that level of wide receiver. But Kerryon Johnson, I forget, are you higher or lower?
I like Kerryon Johnson a lot. I have him like right next to T.Y. and A.J. But that was before the CJ Anderson hiring. I like Kerryon a lot, actually, and I would pay the 101 for him. I really would. I think he's just a really solid player. Yeah, his situation isn't great, but I still think he's going to get at least 60% of those touches in that offense.
Right.
And he was just so efficient last year, and I was a fan. So, you know, going down a running back, I wouldn't trade Geis. I don't think I'd trade the 101 for Geis or Sony Michel, but I would for Kerryon. That's kind of my cutoff point there. Yeah. But yeah, I think also, you know, it's just the biggest advantage in Dynasty is aging wide receivers. So
right.
I think I'd rather trade the 101 for Thielen and maybe Thielen Plus or Brandon Cooks Plus or A.J. Green Plus or T.Y. Hilton Plus, you know. I think what you were saying was a good point. Kerryon's probably a little bit overvalued. So I think you're going to get all those guys we talked about for probably even less than maybe what Kerryon's price currently is.
I think it also depends what you need and what you want from the trade, of course, team by team. But
right.
Like trading for running backs or trading away running backs for the 1.01 seems a little more risky for most, where I think we have more questions about the running backs in this class. If you're trading for the 1.01, you're probably going for a wide receiver.
Yeah, unless one of those top two or three running backs lands in like Tampa Bay in the first two rounds.
Right. Is there a running back, like, well, say one of your top two goes to Tampa Bay. Do you have him over Kerryon Johnson and Geis, or to move up to a player that you like James Conner?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I think it'd be close. Geis, yes, because AP is there. He's coming off of ACL. I had concerns about Geis, even though he was, you know, him and Chubb were that running back 2-3 for me last year. So probably over Geis. I'm not sure about over Kerryon. But I also have doubts. I mean, it's funny that Jacobs was, you know, getting talked about as kind of a first-round lock there for quite a while. And now it's almost even hard to see him getting drafted in maybe even the second round, any of these running backs. But you would think somebody's got to take a, you know, maybe one, two, maybe even three of these running backs in the second round. I mean, historically, I don't know what the number is, but there has to be at least two running backs drafted in the first two rounds of every draft, like of any time, right?
Right. What we're really talking about, looking at players over that 1.01 means the players that you can, according to ADP, trade away to get the 1.01, which, mm-hmm. you know, I think most people at this point know is probably a riskier proposition than we'd say most years anyway.
Yeah.
What if you were looking to trade it away? So looking at players below that value, like the ones that stand out to me, just to give you time to actually look. Like, there's a lot of players below N'Keal Harry here, and I think it's pretty established here that I like the 1.01 this year. I like N'Keal Harry a lot. But he's currently, mm-hmm. And I saw this as a conversation on Twitter recently, actually, where you trade the 1.01 for Jarvis Landry. To me, Jarvis Landry is probably, unless you're really building hard and trying to get as much value as possible, I'd probably take Landry over the 1.01, and I'm not a big Landry guy. But the running backs below that line, I would be more than happy to trade away.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There are a number of wide receivers here that are definitely targets. So if I was looking to trade away the 1.01, I think trading for a wide receiver is the way to go.
And don't you think there's a pretty big tier break there in value? Like,
heck yes.
It's funny in that March ADP, like Corey Davis, DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp, like that's a really solid group there. And then after some of these rookies, you get Derrick Henry. I mean, I'd even maybe put Jarvis Landry in that group, but Marlon Mack, Philip Lindsay. And you know I love Philip Lindsay, but like I'm not trading right. the 101. And I took a lot of heat this offseason saying Philip Lindsay's probably worth the 101. Right. I wouldn't trade it, but he's probably worth that. Because if he had any draft capital at all and he was a top 10 running back coming off his rookie season, he'd be in the top 20 or so. I wouldn't trade the 101 for Philip Lindsay, you know. But, yeah, I think it is funny that these rookies kind of tiered out right where I think there's a pretty big tier break. But I thought Robert Woods should maybe be higher, maybe just above. I think Robert Woods should be in that Cooper Kupp tier. But it's funny. I just pulled up the most recent DLF mock that I'm in currently that's still running right now. And the first rookie to go was DK Metcalf.
Just had to fit that one in.
He went at 45 overall. The next rookie went at 49, and that was Josh Jacobs. The next rookie went at 52. That was Hakeem Butler. The next rookie went at 59. DK Metcalf, that was me. Actually, sorry, Ryan McDowell took A.J. Brown at 58. I took DK Metcalf at 59. And then 60, David Montgomery went. 61, Daryl Henderson went. So there was like a run on rookies, but late. Don't you think that's really late? Like late 50s for a lot of these guys?
It's interesting you should say that. I was just looking and if you don't know how the ADP works, what Ryan does is perform at least 5 rookie drafts every month, and then we're looking at the average of where those players went in order to get the exact ADP. And but above N'Keal Harry, so above what we're calling the 1.01, it's a pretty tight range in those 5 drafts. Players pretty much get drafted within the same 10 spots. Mm. In all 5 of the drafts. There are a few exceptions like James Conner and Le'Veon Bell and Brandon Cooks, wide receivers especially. Sometimes the variance is a little higher than that. But the minute you get to N'Keal Harris, where the rookies start getting taken, and I should point out we are talking about the 1.01, but Metcalf goes right after that, and then like three or four spots later, Hakeem Butler and Josh Jacobs go. So really we're talking between the 1.01 and the 1.05. And that's the thing I love about this draft class, that there is kind of a pick your own ADP. Mm-hmm. And so all of the top three at least picks, I think, have very similar value this True. Year. And depending on what you need. But the minute you get there, the variance goes from like between 1 to 10 to 17 to 20. So the sure. rookies are being drafted like within the same 17 picks in the five drafts instead of within the same 10. And so you can see where that teardrop's happening, where people are kind of taking their shot in this range. It's making a lot of sense, is what I'm saying. But like you say, when you get to Robert Woods, he's always drafted within the same eight spots, and that maybe does indicate that he should be above the 1.01. Mm-hmm. So if you like Robert Woods or the Rams, which you probably should, and that's a really good way of saying that you're probably right. I'm feeling lower than smart people, which is never a good thing, on Robert Woods. Like, I've just never really... Once a guy doesn't hit, I hate having to recalculate him as a hit, you know?
Sure.
The thought process is there. I mostly go to Landry on that. And like I say, I'm not a big Landry guy, but you can't argue. Like, if we get what Landry has given us just in raw yards out of N'Keal Harry, I'll be, you know, ecstatic. That's like, that you can't really hope for more than that out of any rookie wide receiver. But it does seem to me that, like, within the top three rookie picks, if you want to trade for it, you're going to have to give a running back, maybe that you're a little lower than ADP. And if you want to trade it away, it's a great time to go and get a couple of wide receivers or a wide receiver plus with those earlier picks. And I think that's a solid process, because right under that, like, I'm really high on Tyler Boyd. And you can also get Cortland Sutton, who, you know, was in this range of ADP last year. So maybe he was a little lower than the 1.05. It depended on your draft, I guess. But and Calvin Ridley as well. So you can get last year's wide receivers, maybe with an extra pick thrown in for the 1.01. And that seems a little crazy.
Easily. Yeah, I think pretty easily. And then I think there's probably about, what do you think, 106 or so is pretty, I would almost say 101 to 106 isn't all that much differentiated. Maybe even 107. So that's where I'd look. I think there's a pretty big teardrop there. So I think, go ahead.
Sorry, dude. Now, according to, you know, just the list we're looking at, they get drafted right after the 1.04. So that's even a little higher. But I think you're right. There's some variance there, like we're saying. So the 1.06
is probably right. Where's Hakeem Butler in the March ADP? Because he's flying up boards right now.
Hakeem Butler's right in this range. He's 49.
Oh, 49. Okay, so he is up there already.
He's a 1.03, according to the way we're talking
about. Okay. Anyway. Man, he has flown up, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Evan Silva bump.
Right.
Matt Waldman bump. Ryan McDowell bump.
And yeah, I'm just saying, I would love a Calvin Ridley, maybe a Cortland Sutton, definitely a Tyler Boyd with a second round pick for my top three rookie pick this year. That would be great.
I think you can even get more. Honestly,
well, Allen Robinson is below these guys, is the name I just noticed. Yeah. Dang.
And I think you're settling. And again,
I'm a settler, Jake. That's what I do.
Yeah, I know. You need to be more greedy.
No, the minute you hit my value line, I'm like, it's like the cups fall. It just starts running over, and I say yes.
I can see that.
But be greedy for me. What should we be actually looking for out of these top four picks?
Well, like I said, I think you should be getting a top 30 player.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that's where they're going to be eventually, you know, and that's also why you wait to trade these picks a little bit longer, because their ADP is going to get higher.
And this goes back to something I asked about, and I'm bringing it back because I think you have an answer and I didn't. Is there something that can happen in the draft to increase the value of those first three picks? You know, we know that it's going to happen. Like, these picks are going to accrue more value. But mostly, I think we talk about that being, you know, hype value, not real. It shouldn't increase, but it does. Is there something that happened for you that would really make you start valuing the 1.01 like a top 30 player? Like, you would no longer be willing to trade it for one of those players? Like, is it David Montgomery going to the Chiefs or Hakeem Butler going to the Packers? That type of move?
I still don't think so.
All right.
I think it's close. But I mean, again, even the fact that I'm thinking it's even close and I'm even thinking about it means that those guys would be huge sells, as hard as it would be. You know, like, I'm thinking, like, if DK Metcalf goes to the Packers at 12 overall, that'd be so hard for me not to sell.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I mean, and maybe DK is not the guy. Maybe it's N'Keal Harry, just because I think he's a little bit, he has less question marks, and I think more people are behind him. Or even Hakeem Butler, you know, like that. He's a guy that's almost taken the place of DK Metcalf's hype, you know, because Metcalf was getting a lot of the hype early, and now it feels like a lot of his flaws are getting pounced on. And now Hakeem Butler's was kind of getting hurt early in the process, but now he's kind of the hype guy. So, but again, regardless of what your flavor is, I think any of those top wide receivers go to the Packers or go to the Colts, or, you know, let's say go to the Chiefs because Tyreek Hill's going to get traded or whatever the case is, it's no matter what happens there, it's hard to imagine not wanting to sell that guy for a top 30 player.
How about if you don't have one of the top picks? Like, I was thinking, like you were saying, I normally don't have a top 5 pick. I'm not bragging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what if you have one of these later picks? I was looking down here, and you've got Kelvin Harmon at 72. That's like a late first-round pick, isn't it? That looks like...
mid to late. I think Harmon's hovering around that 110 area.
Yeah. So you've got, like, Harmon to Fant, which is, like, 72 to 84 ADP. See anyone above or below those guys for trading it away or trading for it?
Christian Kirk.
Yes.
I would love to sell, you know, a late first for Christian Kirk.
I tell you That'd what, be I,
phenomenal.
I just offered Kyle Breck from the Dynasty Dummies, who we always seem to be talking about those guys. It's like we like him or something. but I just offered him Austin Hooper because his tight ends stink. And a first round pick, and I also think I threw in Tyrell Williams just so he had a wide receiver coming back for Christian Kirk.
Was that in our league, the no-name league?
Yep, that was
in our league. What was your pick? What's your pick in that
league? I don't know. It was around this.
It's got to be a mid to late?
It's mid to late, yeah.
Okay.
And he just outright told me no.
I'm surprised by that.
Not even. I thought, I sent him one offer and I was like, that's not enough. So I went back, revoked it, and added a first. Just like, let's get this done. I thought I was definitely paying, you know, over the top for Kirk. And apparently he's as high on me as Kirk. But, like, if you can get Kirk for one of these late picks, I think that's excellent.
I think I do remember Kyle liking Kirk. I think he was pretty good in his model last year.
He's a numbers
year.
Guy. He's got his head screwed on, so he knows. Yeah. He knows.
What are you trying to say, Peter?
Nothing.
Look at this, though. Dante Pettis, 75 overall.
Yeah, I would trade Dante Pettis away for those other things. So, I still have concerns. And I've said this before, like, I hold on to my rookie evaluations of wide receivers especially a little too long. Like, Calvin Ridley, I've managed to pivot in my mind on. He did well enough. It was touchdown dependent, and he's still behind Julio Jones, dang it. Like I said he would be, but, and he's due regression, but I can pivot to he's good. Okay, fine. He did enough, but like Pettis, I was low on him coming in. I'm still low on him. I think that's as much as we can do to try and provide some context of where to trade picks and what players to try and target. I do think there seems to be a pattern where in the top five, you can trade running backs away to get those picks, and you can trade those picks away to get a wide receiver. Lower round picks, you kind of have a pick your poison option there. If you need running backs or you need wide receivers, you can kind of go both ways. I think it's going to be harder to trade those lower picks for running backs, though, just because the class, or ADP in general, seems to be lower on the running backs for this class. Jake, do you have any final thoughts on the values of where you can trade or what you should trade picks for?
Yeah, I think the big takeaway here is, and I've felt this way for a long time, is trade those high picks for a little bit aging wide receivers.
Yeah, I think that's always a good move. Maybe not Hilton or Green for you, though, right?
You're aiming No. I mean, the 101, maybe not, but... a top five pick, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. The Crossroads is about to open up for morning traffic at this point. So we're going to leave you on that. Hopefully you found some value while looking for trades. I think standard procedure, like Jake was saying, wait to trade those picks. They're going to get more valuable. I have been finding pretty good, and this is something I was going to mention, pretty good luck trading 2020 picks into this class. And that might be something we'll have to bring up at another point. So, all right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for joining us at the Crossroads this week. I hope you had fun and found something of value or at least some form of entertainment. I've had fun here like I always do, and I look forward to seeing you again next week.
Later.
You're at the Dynasty Crossroads that film and analytics create. Crossroads that film and analytics create. Peter crunches numbers and Jake just grinds that tape. It's the Dynasty Crossroads where film is everything. The Dynasty Crossroads where numbers are the king. There may not be consensus, but we'll give you everything.
Okay, I was just going to say they're the names that stick out to me in this late first.
Well, I have a fun exercise after you finish your thought.
Yeah. Chicken or crow, chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so.
Well, before I get there, I traded a 2021 first.
If we're still here in 2 years, you can give me heat.
But I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art. Always a
well, N'Keal Harry is visiting Seattle, so we'll see. But anyways, so I want to go through this list, and just off the top of your head, not Allen Robinson. Quickfire.
I'd trade any first for him.
More specific.
Any first from the 1.0.
I want a specific. Mike Williams.
Yeah.
Who? Mike Williams.
Let me just get this straight. You want to know what pick I would trade for them,
yes,
right?
Yes, specific. Off the top of your
Mike
head.
Mike Williams.
Faster. Do it now.
1.10? 1.10,
okay.
Maybe?
Okay. Alshon Jeffrey?
3.02. maybe lower.
Russ Fisher is not going to be... I think Russ likes Alshon, but... You need to be more greedy.